Half a decade of reports and recommendations on the F-35 program have led to one conclusion: that program is still not out of the woods. The fifth annual progress report from the Government Accountability Office has some news that looks very familiar to people who have been following this program. Mike Sullivan's director of acquisition and sourcing management issues at the Government Accountability Office, and he testified about the F-35 program at a hearing of the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Tactical Air and Land Forces today. He is my guest on Pentagon Solutions for the first part of the program today. Mike, it's always great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming on so soon after being on the Hill. I appreciate your time very much today. This is not all bad news, it doesn't seem to me, based on the testimony that you submitted both in writing and that I heard you deliver to the committee today. There's a software issue going on here. Lay that out for us, please.
Yeah, the software issue is that the program is now, probably the biggest risk on the program now is to complete the mission system software, which is really, if you think about the brain of the aircraft, this is the software that's going to do all the mission planning. It's going to be responsible for the helmet-mounted display that the pilot has. It's going to be responsible for a lot of the cross-communications that this aircraft is going to have to do with all the links that are up there in cyberspace and things. So it's really the brains. It's sensor fusion. It's all that very difficult stuff that's that they're working on now, and they have a lot of risk left in that. Block 2B is the block of software that gives them initial warfighting capabilities, and that's what the Marines want for their initial operating capability, and they want that by July of 2015. The program is saying that they will be able to deliver that on time, but what we found is that there's a lot more schedule risk in that than we think the program assumes.
Now, you got questions from a number of the members of this subcommittee today, Mike, about the capabilities that the plane has demonstrated so far in testing. What did you look at specifically there?
Well, if you separate the mission systems that I was just talking about, pardon me, from the what we might call flight sciences, they're doing very well with flight sciences. That's software that's needed to allow the aircraft to go through its paces, if you will, you know, fill out the envelope, hit the right altitudes, the right speeds, deliver the proper payloads and things like that. They're about halfway through with actually loading that software onto the aircraft. That's good. It's all in the mission systems software, again, the brains, where they're having issues. And that is not atypical on these programs. And that what's happening is they have a series of blocks that they had scheduled to load on here one by one, and they've kind of gotten concurrent with those blocks. So they're still working on block one and block two starts, and they're still working on both block one and two when block three starts, and you get the idea. It becomes kind of a chaotic situation.
Is it the same issue with concurrency in the software piece that we saw with other aspects of this plane as they started to work on it, Mike?
You can make that analogy. It's it's software, so it's much different. But they are beginning to. There's work that's traveling from one block to the next, not getting tested on time, and they're starting new capabilities. So. Same idea, yes.
Yeah, as you described it today, it sounded to me like the same same situation. In that, if you're on block three and something's changed in block one because they're still working on it, then you've got to go back to block three and update and retest, and it becomes kind of almost a circular problem.
It can get very difficult. That's right. Now, on the other hand, they're also trying to look for more efficiencies in flight test and see where, you know, they're trying to get redundancy out of the program. So on the one hand, they have all that change that's occurring, which is very tough. And on the other hand, they're looking to make the flight test program more efficient.
You write in this report, to execute the program as planned, the Department of Defense will have to increase funds steeply over the next 5 years and sustain an average of $12.6 billion a year through 2037. For several years, funding requirements will peak around $15 billion. How does that comport with the requests that the administration is making? Do they match up? I mean, are they asking for the money they need for this?
I think they are asking. Well, they have a future years defense plan in right now that covers 5 years. And it's the request over that five-year period is, I think, around $53 billion. And so in fiscal year, it starts low and builds up, you know, ramps up to, you know, it goes from about $8 billion to about $15 billion in that time span. What usually happens is the request probably has all of the money they need in it, but there's kind of a bow wave effect as the Congress has to deal with these large sums of money at appropriations time, and sometimes they don't get everything they wanted. That money kind of pushes out, and so what you see is a program kind of continually asking for that big money just outside the future year's defense plan. It's a lot of money.
Mike Sullivan's director of acquisition and sourcing management issues at the Government Accountability Office, testifying earlier today to the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Tactical Air and Land Forces about his recent work on the F-35 program. The report, Mike, just coming out yesterday?
The report actually is out. We got it out early this year, and it came out Monday.
And testifying about it before Congress today.
Yeah.
You also write, aircraft manufacturing continued to improve in 2013, and management of the supply chain is evolving. I know you, and you're very deliberate when you write these. You could have written management of the supply chain is improving if that's what you wanted to say, Mike. Are they still struggling with the supply chain?
The supply chain, I would say it is improving. It just we didn't have enough evidence and data at this time to make, you know, to put that in a report.
Mm-hmm.
But they're working on that. The reason that we're looking at that is because it's a global supply chain. It's a very complex supply chain. So it's something that we kind of want to keep our eyes on. They're not doing badly there. They're not doing great there. But we want to keep watching. Probably as the production ramps up on this, you'll see us talk a lot more about that global supply chain.
The reason that I think that, the next point that you made was important is because one of the issues when they were really struggling with the financial aspect of this a couple of years back that leaders of this program kept pointing to was, well, when we get further into this program, it'll become more efficient. The price per copy will go down. And that appears to at least start to be bearing itself out. You write, as the number of aircraft and productions increase, critical learnings taking place, manufacturing efficiencies improved, the prime contractors seen reductions in overall labor hours needed to manufacture the aircraft as expected. Is it your sense, or did any of the work that you did indicate that some cost benefits that have been promised will bear out because of some of the efficiencies they're starting to see, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. That's, as I stated today, that's the upside on this program. They are certainly learning how to build the aircraft. So if you take software out of the picture, this is, the contractor is doing a very good job of making a very good aircraft that's been, you know, that is handling stress very well and everything else in flight. And it's, they really are coming down a healthy learning curve. And are hitting targets that were set for them in a lot of the LRIP contracts they made. Now, in order to meet the funding profile that they have now, the affordability issues they have, they've got a long way to go with those unit costs. And the department has set targets for them to reach by 2019 in terms of unit cost at that time. That's when full rate production starts. And they've got quite a challenge to meet those targets. The targets are very ambitious. But, yeah, the contractor is really, like I said in the testimony today, I think there's at least 135, 175 aircraft either in process or already delivered.
And we're going to put a link to your testimony and the rest of the hearing at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth so folks can watch it. I think of all of the things that I learned from this hearing today, the most important thing that I took away from it, from the remarks that you gave to the committee, is that you're a new grandpa. That's fantastic. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much for recognizing that. Charles Sullivan was born Monday evening in Cincinnati, Ohio. He weighs 7 pounds, 3 ounces, And parents, John and Elizabeth, are doing fine.
And your first one, Mike, your first grandkid?
First one, yeah. Now, my daughter would be upset if I didn't mention that she's due in July, and she's going to have a daughter out in California, and she already knows her daughter's name is going to be Caroline.
Congratulations to you, and just enjoy as much as you possibly can, Mike.
I certainly will.
Thanks for being on the program. Mike Sullivan's Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. You can see his testimony later today, and you can hear my conversation with Mike at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later.